Hello and welcome to another episode of Nonprofit Vision. This is your host, Greg Nielsen. I'm the president and CEO of Nielsen Training and Consulting, where we work with nonprofit organizations around the country, primarily in the areas of board excellence, strategic planning, and organizational development. I want to welcome everybody back to the podcast. We have another exciting episode today, and we have two guests joining us today. So I want to welcome Hannah Odell from Greater Space and Colleen Sassini from Serve Corp. We're going to be talking about today, the benefits of shared space for nonprofit organizations. I think particularly during the pandemic, we've seen a lot of organizations reevaluate their space needs and try to be creative in terms of the way they meet their mission and the way they use their space creatively to maximize efficiency and impact. So with that, I want to welcome Hannah and Colleen to the podcast. Hannah, I'll allow you to introduce yourself first. Welcome.
Thanks so much, Greg, and thanks for having me. So my name is Hannah Odell. I am a career fundraising professional. Originally, I got my start in international development for an organization in El Salvador. Worked there on their fundraising team for a few years before, you know, bringing it back to New York City. I was the development director for a nonprofit in Brooklyn. And then I joined Hudson Ferris, which is a full service boutique fundraising firm about 6 years ago. So I serve there now as the managing director, and my business partner and I launched Greater Space together last November.
Excellent. Thank you, Hannah. Colleen, welcome to the podcast.
Great. Thank you so much. Happy to be here, Greg. My name is Colleen Sassini. I run the U.S. operations for Serve Corp. Serve Corp is a global office provider operating in 150 locations. And I have been in the flex space industry for 25 years.
Welcome. I appreciate both of you joining us today. And just to kind of get everybody off on the same foot, everybody understanding what we're talking about today, when we talk about shared space for nonprofits, what do you see from your perspective, and both of you have experience in this industry, what do you see as some of the benefits for nonprofit organizations of thinking about shared space? Hannah, can I ask you to address that first?
Sure. Well, you know, right now we are seeing a lot of nonprofits, moving remote. Obviously, COVID has created an existential crisis for many small to mid-sized nonprofits particularly. But even prior to the pandemic, we were seeing a lot of small organizations getting priced out of Manhattan real estate. So right now, you know, I think a lot of nonprofits are trying to consider, how do I, you know, save money, reduce my overhead, keep my team operating as a well-oiled machine, right? And then when things abate, when the crisis abates, where am I going to meet my funders and where is my board going to meet? So I think a lot of nonprofits are looking into shared space as an option or some sort of virtual package that still provides them with a home base.
Colleen, from your perspective, you've been in this industry for a number of years. So this is not new. So the concept of shared space or flexible space is not new. How have you seen this industry evolve from nonprofits over the years?
Well, definitely, for starters, I will say the benefit of being in a flex space is obviously the decreased overhead costs, for starters. The flexibility, especially during the pandemic, companies need the flexibility in their real estate portfolio, which typically is the highest cost, is the real estate. So it gives companies and especially nonprofits the opportunity to run their business without having that that overhead cost. And then with the partnership, it gives, you know, nonprofits, you know, a way that is more efficient in the long term to run their business.
And Colleen, you mentioned, that often shared services are part of shared space, and that efficiency benefits nonprofits. What are some of those common shared services that you see in these arrangements?
Yeah, great question. We have a variety of packages and offerings. We offer companies flexible packages, which help them run their business, whether they are remote workers or need to work from an office. We have virtual office packages for those remote workers, maybe work from home, but still need to a place to come into the office, have a meeting, have a board meeting. We have event space pre-pandemic, but we'll have it back again soon. But we have event space and we offer administrative support. So we have secretaries on site, word processing, any type of reports or typing or services, bank runs, telephone answering, as well as full-time office space. And the agreements range from 1 month to 2 years. So we really pride ourselves on being an extension of a client's business.
Excellent. Hannah?
Yeah, sure. Well, I can talk a little bit about some of the services we provide through Greater Space. So maybe I can give a little overview of how Greater Space works. So.
Please.
Yeah, so Greater Space is an operational platform designed to promote efficiency, scalability, and sustainability in the nonprofit sector. So we designed Greater Space to be, you know, so much more than shared office space. It's really a platform from which small nonprofits can access pooled services to help them grow. So some of these services, you know, include social media, fundraising, of course, that's my area of expertise, accounting, IT, grant writing, PR, you know, executive coaching, impact evaluation, strategic planning, graphic design, social media, CRM, you know, so we've really partnered with a number of service providers to cover all of those essential services that nonprofits generally need but can't afford or can't access, right? So these services, by pooling them together, are offered to our clients at an affordable rate. And so they get to access best in the business, which typically, you know, they are either not able to, they don't know where to look for these best in the business service providers, or they find them and they're priced out.
So Hannah, I want to follow up on that with a quick question. You mentioned, and I'll just hone in on two of the things you mentioned, which is fundraising and CRM, which are obviously two areas that nonprofits are critically concerned about. How does that work in a shared services environment? What does that tend to look like? What are some things that nonprofits should look for if they're thinking about arrangements like that?
Sure. Well, so all of our service providers offer their services at a discount to the market rate. So just as for CRM as an example, so we work with a number of service providers within each area. So if the CRM doesn't work for you, we've probably got another one that will, or we'll go out and find one that meets your unique needs. So the value add is that we go out and vet these service providers. And, you know, our sort of unofficial tagline is outsource everything but your mission. Right. So these small nonprofits are operating on a really tight budget. Right. And with the 85-15 rule, you know, funders are, they're expected to keep their overhead to 15% of their overall budget or less, which makes it really hard to bring these services in-house. Right. So what we've done is we've gone out and found the best in the business for you, offered it to you at a discount. And then we can also help you manage that relationship, because if you're an executive director with a team of, say, 3 or 4 program staff, right, you don't have time to manage 10 different vendor relationships, let alone vet them, right? If it's not working, find a new one. So we do all of that for you. And with fundraising, you know, that's my background, obviously. So we, through our extensive network of colleagues and peers, we've been able to really work with the best in the business and connect them to the smaller clients who maybe just didn't know they were out there or couldn't afford them.
So it sounds like that network, that connection, is also a value for nonprofits that are participating. Colleen, from your perspective, ServCorp is a large international company. Talk to me a little bit about the history of the partnership between ServCorp and Greater Space. How did that come about, and what do you see as some of the benefits for nonprofit organizations?
Yes, we launched the partnership last year. And the benefits is we're able to, it gives, you know, nonprofits the ability to run their business without the extreme overhead of running their business. And most, you know, we're getting priced out of the market. And, you know, we're able to help multiple charities across multiple spaces.
Hannah, from your perspective at Greater Space, how has that partnership with ServCorp expanded your ability to serve nonprofits?
Sure. Well, you know, ServCorp has always been an excellent socially responsible corporation, right? So they really set the pace. And I think through our partnership, you know, they were able to access this community, right, that really was, we're looking at these prestigious addresses that ServCorp occupies in Manhattan, but never really able to afford them. And so ServCorp generously offers their office space at a discount, which enables small nonprofits to really, you know, to have these prestigious addresses: One World Trade, 1330 Avenue of the Americas, 667 Madison Avenue, and 17 State Street, right? So those are some addresses that the small to mid-sized, the little guys just couldn't get into. And so by partnering with ServCorp, you know, we've been able to open the market to these smaller nonprofits and also serve nonprofits all over the country. There are locations in all major U.S. cities, right? So we've been able to really expand our reach.
So I want to talk about that for nonprofits around the country. So beyond just Manhattan, beyond just New York, who are thinking about shared space arrangement, how do you recommend that they approach something like that? What are some of the key considerations to have in mind, some of the key questions for nonprofits to ask as they're thinking through whether that makes sense for them?
Sure. Well, I mean, there's a couple things to consider. You know, there's a lot of different co-working offices out there, but ServCorp's been around since the beginning. ServCorp has been around since the 70s, right? They're here for the long haul. They have survived a number of, you know, different fluctuations of the market, and here we are, you know, living through the pandemic. So I think sustainability is a key factor, and professionalism. So a lot of these co-working places do not have the level of professionalism that ServCorp has always represented, not only just in the way that their offices run, but the way that it looks, right? So it's completely unbranded. When you're in your boardroom and you're a nonprofit in a board meeting in a ServCorp office, it's your boardroom, right? It does not say ServCorp on the wall. It is, we've designed it so that it is really yours for the making. There is no music piping through the hallways. There are no ping pong tables or video games, right, that you might see in some of these other competitors. So it's really, it's a really prestigious environment, really professional, and it's been around for, you know, 40 years, and it'll be here for the next 40.
Colleen, from your perspective, for nonprofits who are considering a shared space or flexible space, what are some pitfalls for them to be aware of, or some cautions that you might offer to them as they consider this?
Some pitfalls. I would say, you know what, I think for those that are looking for a partner to help them run their business and get started, I think it's really important to make sure you're with the right partner, make sure that they represent your brand and your company to the point Tana was, you know, speaking about. We don't have, you know, it is a professional environment, but it really is important to walk through the space and make sure it's the partner that you want to represent your business, because that's how we look at these partnerships and we look at running as our business, is that we become an extension of someone's business. So I would say for those that are looking for the partnership is really to know who you're engaged with and know who your partner is and really walk the spaces and understand what services can be provided to you so that it is the right partner you're with.
I think that Colleen brings up a good point as well about representing your brand. I mean, nonprofits have to, you want to make sure that your board and your funders, right, feel that they're in a space where their dollar is being used most effectively and efficiently. So I think the image that you get when you bring a board member or a donor or a foundation program officer into a ServCorp office is the highest level I think that you can really have in the co-working space, right? So we really try to maintain the highest level of professionalism, because in the nonprofit world, that's what's going to matter to the board and to the folks that are giving you the money to pay for that space.
So we've talked about the benefits of the collaboration between a ServCorp and a greater space and the nonprofits. I'm curious, how have you seen these relationships develop between and among the nonprofits themselves? So if you have 3, 4, 5 or more nonprofits who are sharing a similar space, have you seen that promote collaboration between and among those organizations?
Well, absolutely. And that's one of the pillars that we've built our platform on, is community. And so through greater space, you know, you're able to work alongside other organizations with, you know, common shared purpose. And so really the goal is to facilitate collaboration. It's to connect folks. Obviously, networking events was a really big part of our platform. And we are moving that virtual because we're all living in a virtual world for the foreseeable future. And so our goal is to promote collaboration and to get nonprofits that are, you know, in that small to mid-sized range, like I would say 500,000 to 5 million in budget size, working together, pooling resources, pooling ideas. And, you know, in the for-profit world, mergers and acquisitions happen all the time, but we don't see that in the nonprofit world because nobody makes money off of it, right? So this is something that funders want to see. They want to see peer organizations and analogous organizations working together, creating greater impact through collaboration. And so while this is, it really enables each of our clients to grow and create greater impact individually, overall, it's promoting collaboration within the space, which is really attractive to larger funders.
Colleen, have you seen any great examples of collaboration between the organizations that you partner with?
I will say right now with the pandemic, things have been a little bit not business as usual as things would have been. Actually, right before the pandemic, we were planning on a event. So like the events and things that we would normally do right now, we've kind of halted a bit, but we're just, you know, there's a client that Hannah, a charity that we are working with that has a virtual package at one of my properties in New York City, and through meeting with this company was able to introduce them to another company. So it just really is, to Anna's point, it really is the community of being able to meet others, you know, in a shared space environment.
And I think the benefit that you've mentioned from Greater Space and ServeCorp is that you've been around prior to the pandemic as well. So I'm curious, Hannah, from your perspective working with nonprofits, how have you seen their operations evolve, morph, transition during this pandemic time? And how have you evolved the model of Greater Space to meet those challenges?
Sure. Well, prior to the pandemic, as I said, we developed Greater Space in response to what we were seeing in the nonprofit world through our clients and just, you know, citywide, with nonprofits working remotely or being forced into these, you know, co-working spaces in remote parts of Brooklyn, and places where you couldn't really host board meetings, couldn't bring in funders. So I think that was an issue we were seeing, and the pandemic only exacerbated that. We've definitely been seeing nonprofits, you know, dialing back their staff, trimming their budget any way they can to get through this. It's interesting because giving is up nationally, but it is being targeted, of course, to public health, disaster relief, and education right now, from what I'm reading, are the top three. I'd say social justice is a close fourth. So if you're not in one of those spaces, you are sitting there wondering how you're going to get through perhaps another spring gala season without your gala, right? How are you going to make it through another 6 months of the economic crisis? So while we're seeing giving up, it is certainly not up across the different sectors. And so we've had, you know, especially early on, we saw a number of our clients, especially in the arts and culture, having to close their doors, you know, rethinking their strategies entirely. So with that all said, I think a lot of nonprofits are right now thinking, how are we going to rebuild? And what we've done to meet the need of remote working is we've been offering these virtual packages. And what that does is it gives you a home address in New York City. So you're not applying for grants from, you know, Six Cottage Lane in Connecticut, right? You have a prestigious address. You can apply for One World Trade. Funders take you seriously. You've got a place where you can come in and actually work at a co-working desk when you need to, if you can. We also have a place for you to have your board meeting, right? So those options are still there for you. But as people start to rethink going back to work, they want to be in a place where they can grow. And as they start bringing staff back and hopefully rehiring and rebuilding, they can do that within Greater Space. So it really is a place where you can scale. And that's the whole concept, right? Come to us. reduce your overhead, operate efficiently, grow, achieve greater impact, leverage that to access more funding. And then hopefully one day you've got a space for 4, you grow to a space for 10, you grow to a space for 15, right? So it's a place where you can really grow and mature as an organization. And we've been, of course, adapting to meet the virtual needs, but this is, it's hard to imagine at this moment in time, but it is just a moment in time, right? And people are going to want to go back to work. So a lot of our clients that are taking virtual packages are hoping to eventually be able to get a permanent desk, move to a permanent office, move to a group space, start using the event space again, right? So it really facilitates that growth and it allows nonprofits, I think, to plan for that rebuilding phase.
Okay, before we wrap up, I'm going to ask both of you to look into your crystal balls for us here. When we think about the evolution of shared space and shared services, particularly for nonprofits around the country, what do you see, and I'll start with you, Colleen, what do you see as some of the trends for the future of shared space and shared services for organizations like small to mid-size nonprofits?
I think more so than ever, our product offering will become that much more important to the nonprofit community. I believe with the, you know, product staircase, I mean, for those that, there's plenty that are still working from home, so it gives them the flexibility. I keep using the word flexibility because it really is about the flexibility, but it gives them the flexibility to start out, you know, at a virtual program and come in and really use services as they need them and not have, you know, I think the we're seeing in our business the needs of the, you know, having everybody in the same office on the same floor and full floor, you know, spaces. I think that, you know, the pandemic has changed that need for company, the way companies operate. So I think more so than ever, the flexible programs will become that much more important to organizations trying to run their business. I mean, everyone's trying to, cost is always a major factor to companies. So I really believe that flexible programs will be the way of the future.
Hannah?
Yeah, I'd love to piggyback on something Colleen said about, you know, using services as you need them. The way that we've designed our network of service providers and through our platform, we are able to provide a la carte services, or you can sign up for, you know, retainer ongoing packages. And so that flexibility to use services when you need them. I mean, anybody who's a fundraiser knows that there's peaks and valleys throughout the year. So let's imagine you have a fundraiser on retainer, but, you know, in July and August, you're not really using them that much. Come year-end campaign, you've got a huge need, right? So you can pay for these services only when you have those periods of fluctuation rather than having to, you know, to keep them on retainer all year round. And I think that is a really big cost savings to our clients. And I think, you know, we're going to see needs evolve as people go back to work. I think a big question is events, right? So I don't know when we're going to be able to do large 300 person galas again, but what I'm projecting and what I'm seeing is that people are going to be starting to consider, you know, smaller series of intimate events. So instead of a 300 person gala, maybe you do, you know, 4 smaller 50 to 75 person events. Perhaps you instead structure it in a hybrid model, right? Where you have a VIP experience for a very, very small number of people, and then you're broadcasting out to a larger audience at home. So at 667 Madison Avenue, we have an amazing event space right in the office. And so it is equipped for state-of-the-art IT. It is equipped for cocktail parties. It is equipped for lunch and learns and Q&As and panel events, right? So it's really, it's going to enable people to start testing the waters with what's okay and what's not okay within the event, within event fundraising at a time when nobody really knows. And our clients ask us all the time, what should I be projecting for the fall? Can I do my event in the fall? And as much as we'd like to say we have that crystal ball, we really don't, you know. So I think through greater space, clients are going to be able to be testing different event models, testing out hybrid models, bringing in groups in small numbers as cultivation events start to become possible again. I think as we also, you know, gear up for this rebuilding, I think we're going to be seeing a lot of money flowing towards education. Right? People are going to be talking about fighting learning loss. They're already doing it. It's one of the top 3, causes right now. I think there's going to be a big influx of resources to arts and culture as people are starting to see, you know, the museum or the theater that's actually had to close its doors, right? We're not wondering anymore. We're seeing this happen around us in our neighborhoods. And so nonprofits, there's just going to be a huge need for fundraising. And I think they're going to need somebody who's going to be out there on the front lines, you know, accessing those dollars for them. And so we've created a place where the small to mid-sized nonprofits can compete for those dollars, right, through our network. And so I think we're going to see a lot of these things happening in 2021. And we have been getting ready and preparing for that. So I think to prep for what's ahead, I think it's important that nonprofits start thinking through what the future looks like for office space, when they're going to be able to actually meet with their boards and funders in person. And then with it, they're also able to consider some of these sort of holistic service packages that we'll put together for them.
Well, Hannah and Colleen, I appreciate you taking the time to join me today. For each of you, if nonprofits, if leaders who are listening to the podcast want to get further information about ServCorp, about Greater Space, about shared services, if each of you could maybe share some just general contact information of where nonprofits can go to learn a little bit more. Colleen, I'll turn it over to you first.
Hannah, maybe you start first.
Sure, yeah, no problem. Anybody who wants to get in touch can do so on our website, which is greaterspacenyc.com. And you can reach me directly at Hannah, H-A-N-N-A-H, at greaterspacenewyorkcity.com.
Thank you, Hannah.
Okay, great. And with ServCorp, you can go to our website, servcorp.com, S-E-R-V-C-O-R-P. And my email address is Colleen, C-O-L-L-E-E-N, .Susini, S-U-S-I-N-I, at servcorp.com.
Excellent. Well, Hannah and Colleen, I want to thank you very much for your time today. I appreciate you joining us. And for those who are listening, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Nonprofit Vision. I want everybody out there, I hope you're enjoying the latest episodes that we've been rolling out. If you're enjoying the podcast, I do encourage you to subscribe, download, share it with your friends, leave us a rating and a review if you're so inclined. And everybody out there, stay safe and stay well. Thank you, Hannah. Thank you, Colleen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.